Excellent, excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. If today's your first time with us, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And as we come together today, we are continuing our conversation called The Love Project and looking at how Jesus, as he steps into our lives, every single one of our lives, how he steps in and he's shifting the way that we look at love. You thought love looked like this, but it actually looks like this. You've heard it said that love works this way, but it actually works this way. And specifically speaking to the vision that we have of love. All of us have a vision of where we're going with our lives. And in that, we have a vision of what love looks like. And Jesus is stepping in and saying, no, let me reshape that for you. Let me teach you what love actually looks like. If you weren't able to be with us last week as we began this, I highly encourage you to go back and to watch or to listen to it online as it kind of sets the foundation for how Jesus does that. And for the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to begin unpacking that. How does he speak to that vision? How does he shift that vision, both theoretically and practically? Because again, and we say this quite frequently here at Hoboken Grace, if it doesn't impact Monday, we're wasting our time. This isn't just about learning, this is about living. It's about following Jesus. It changes the way that we engage this journey as we encounter the truth of who Jesus was and what Jesus has taught us. And so we're going to be unpacking this theoretically and practically, beginning with this week, spontaneity. Beginning with spontaneity, because you see, for most of us, we have a vision of love that's spontaneous. We feel and we act. We feel and we act. We feel and we act. Our vision of love is spontaneous. He felt so passionately about me that he stopped and got flowers on the way home. She felt so passionately about me that she had to lean over and kiss me. Our vision of love is spontaneous. We feel and we act. And when someone feels and acts a lot, when it happens quite frequently, then we say, okay, they love me or I love them because I'm feeling and acting a lot. We have a vision of love that is spontaneous because remember, we think that love happens to us. We fall into and out of love. It's something that happens to me. It's a feeling that happens to me, not something that happens through me. It's spontaneous. I feel and I act. We think that love is a feeling that impacts actions as opposed to what we talked about last week, that love is actually actions that impact or affect our feelings. Well, because we believe that, we think that love is spontaneous. But then Jesus steps into our lives and he presents us with a different vision of love. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is talking to us about the way that Jesus has loved us, and it presents us with a different idea. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." He's talking about, look at all that Christ has done with us because of the fact that he gave his life for us. Look at all of what's possible. And then he says this. He says something really powerful. He says, even before he made the world, even before the story began, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. We think that love is spontaneous. We have a vision of love that's spontaneous. We feel and we act. God comes to us and says, no, let me give you a different vision of love. My vision of love is intentional. Jesus didn't just on a whim love you. Jesus didn't one day decide, oh, you know what? I do kind of like them. I'm going to love them. Jesus didn't go to the cross. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he just all of a sudden felt a certain way. No, what we're seeing in this passage is that from the beginning of the story, he had planned to go to the cross for you. From the beginning of the story, before the world was even created, he had planned to intentionally love you. We have a vision of love that's spontaneous. God comes to us and says, let me present you with a different vision of love. My love isn't spontaneous. My love is intentional. It's planned. It's faithful. It's consistent. It's methodical. I didn't just in a moment feel a certain way and then I decided to love you. No, no, no. I've loved you from the very beginning and I have been faithful to love you all the way through it. And this is true. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God had not only planned for you to be a part of this story, but he planned for his son to give his life for you, to intentionally love you. From the very beginning, he planned this. He says, no, no, no. Love is intentional. Love is methodical. Love is planned. Love is faithful. Now, I know what you're thinking, because almost every time I walk someone through this, and I say, no, 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 you have a different vision of love. Look at how God has loved us. It's intentional. It's consistent. It's methodical. It's faithful. They look back at me, and consistently I get the same response. That doesn't sound very romantic at all. And if you think about the way that we think about romance, it doesn't fit the way that we think about romance. No one has ever said, oh, he's so romantic. He's crazy faithful. No one has ever said, man, she's so romantic. She's very methodical. No one says that because we don't look at romance that way. We've been sold a fool's idea of romance. I don't know if you know this or not, but romance is subjective. It's cultural. It has to do with your environment. That different cultures experience romance or look at romance, talk about romance in different ways. And our culture has sold us a fool's narrative regarding romance. Our culture has sold us an idea of romance that celebrates the fool who catches his girlfriend at the airport more than it celebrates the wisdom that would have never let her get there. Do you understand this? It celebrates the fool that catches his girlfriend at the gate more than the wisdom that would never have let that happen. I frequently ruin these movies for my wife. Because the scene comes on and he's running into the airport and I'm sitting there. She said, why are you not moved by this? I say, everything I know about this couple says they've got 6 months tops. Tops. The whole thing that led them there was they weren't honest, they didn't communicate, they don't know what love is. It's what led them there, but we celebrate it. Why? Because he got her at the gate and then they kiss. It's amazing. It's so romantic. No, it's stupid. But if it's perfectly with our vision of love, spontaneous. He realized what he felt and so he acted. We've been sold a fool's narrative regarding romance. Fits perfectly with our vision. Love is spontaneous. You feel and you act. You feel and you act. If you continue to look at love that way, if you continue to have that vision of love, you're going to have a consistent problem, and that is this. It will be easier for you to love someone new than it will be to have lasting, meaningful love. Because those feelings aren't love. Those feelings are arousal, attraction, curiosity, excitement. This past weekend, my son had his birthday. Happens every time my kids have a birthday. They get these new toys. Oh, I love this toy. I love this toy. For about a month. Month, two, goes by. Who knows where it is? It's gone. The whole toy story idea that a child gives its toy its purpose and all that, that doesn't happen in my house. They love it. I don't know where it is. For some of us, our vision of love is no greater than a child with a new toy. And we look at love as spontaneous. I feel and I act. And God said, no. That's not what love actually looks like. Love is consistent. Love has character. Love is faithful. I love the way that this is captured. And the two ideas of romance are captured in the movie The Notebook. And I know you're going to make fun of me because I bring this up. This is a younger crowd. Typically, this crowd is our younger crowd. So some of you may not have seen The Notebook. You may be thinking, what is that? It was a movie that came out about 14 years ago, which is when some of you were born. And I realize for some of you, you haven't seen this movie. You need to go watch it. Okay, I'm going to tell you to go and watch this movie, and then after you watch it, you'll make fun of me for the fact that I brought it up. But here's the deal. Inside of this movie, and I don't think it was the author's intent based on the rest of the books that he wrote, because he doesn't seem to capture this in anything else that he writes. But inside of this book in particular, he contrasts these two ideas of romance. And so at the beginning of the movie, you see like the kiss in the rain, and it's all spontaneous. I feel and I act. I feel and I act. I feel and I act. And it's literally ripping them apart. They're constantly hurting each other. But it's our vision of what love looks like. As a matter of fact, for many people, after they watched that movie, they said, that's what love looks like. But then you come to the end of it. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to ruin it for you. Spoiler alert. Okay, but you've had 14 years, so it's on you. But you come to the end of it. At the end of it, we find out that she now has Alzheimer's and she's in a nursing home. But at the end of it, you see him every day show up to read her the story of their life together, hoping for those few moments where she'll remember their time together. Hoping for those few moments where she'll recognize him. And I love the contrast in the movie, because at the beginning of the movie, we have our vision of love. And we think this is what love looks like, even though it leads to nothing good. And then at the end of the movie, you see a greater idea of romance. You see a love that's consistent. You see a love that's faithful. You see a love that's methodical. You see a love that shows up day after day after day after day. And our culture has come in and said, no, this is what romances look like. But the truth is, when you actually see it, you know it. And you know, that's what I actually want. That's what I actually want. I don't want a love that just shows up when someone feels it. I want a love that shows up over and over and over again. And Jesus steps into our lives and says, you guys have this spontaneous view of love. You have this idea of love that's impacted or influenced by what you feel. He says, no, my love is consistent no matter how I feel. And it's intentional. I don't just hope that it will happen. I make sure it happens. It's consistent. We have to shift the way that we think about love. We have to shift our vision to a love that shows up day after day after day. Let me give you a practical example of this. Or a way for us to be able to practice this. So again, we're not just talking about it theoretically, but we're actually practicing it day after day after day. But let me talk to you about it as it pertains to affection. One aspect of love is something called affection. Affection is when we communicate that we're emotionally attracted to someone, that we care about them, that we prioritize them. And so we want them to know that we love them, so we show them affection. It's how we communicate that. No, we're passionate about them. And I know for some of you, because of the fact that we've been walking through this and I've been saying, listen, love isn't a feeling that moves us to action. You hear me saying that the feeling doesn't matter. That's not actually true. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, there's a book called Song of Solomon, and it's talking about, gives us this picture of a relationship. And inside the picture, there's incredible passion. There's incredible emotion. Let me just give you the beginning of the book. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. The entire book is filled with passion and emotion. I'm not telling you that it's not important. It's just not the foundation of love. And one of the things, if we're going to love each other well, one of the aspects of love that we have to get a hold of is this idea of affection. Now, affection is tricky, because affection is an aspect of love that's subjective. There are aspects of love that are objective. In other words, God has defined them. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, he's defining for us love. He's saying, you don't just get to make up your own mind about what love looks like. It looks like this. Love isn't envious. This is what it looks like. And there are aspects of love that are objective that God has defined for us. He said, this is what it looks like. And that's important because some of us have really twisted views of love based on our experience in the past. And so for some of you, you think love is dangerous. And God says, no, love isn't like that. Or some of you think that love is abusive. God says, no, love is like, because of your experience, you bring that into your definition or the way you look at love. There are certain aspects of love that are defined, that God says, no, love is like this. But then there are other aspects of love that are subjective, that are based on the individual and how they experience or feel love, their personality, how they've been created. Jesus actually loves you this way. One of the really cool things about Jesus' time on earth is that as you watch him interact with people, he almost never says the same thing twice. Because he's constantly speaking, not in general terms, but he's constantly speaking to the people in front of him. And so he's paying attention to how they're created. He's paying attention to their personality. He's paying attention to where they are on the journey. All of that is shaped, and he's loving them based on who they are and the uniqueness of who they are as an individual, the uniqueness of who they are as a group. And if you're going to learn how to be able to love well, you have to pay attention to affection. And affection looks different for all of us based on how we're created and how the journey that we've been on, all sorts of different things that factor into this. Some of you may have heard of the five love languages. It speaks to this different, the way in which we experience love differently, how we experience affection differently. And one of the things that you're going to have to do if you're going to love someone well is you have to figure out how do they experience affection. Affection is rooted in attentiveness. Listen to me. Affection is rooted in attentiveness. You have to pay attention. If you want to know how to be able to love someone well, watch the way in which they love other people. Because we typically try to love people the same way that we experience love. I'll give you an example of this. Before Anna and I got married, I think we were engaged at the time, we took a group of college students down to Nashville. We were going down for a conference. And so we got about halfway down. We stopped at a gas station. She went into the gas station. I filled up the van with gas. And we got back in the van. She came back out. She was so excited. I mean, she was so excited. She was giddy with excitement. And she had this little brown paper bag in her hand. And she said, I got something for you. I thought, oh, great. Maybe she got me a Snickers. I'm kind of hungry. She said, I got something for you. And she was so excited. I was like, man, this is going to be good. So she hands me this brown paper bag. She said, open it. Open it. Look inside. So I open it, and I reach in, and I pull out this little, about 2-inch-tall bear that's golfing. Okay? Now, let me give you a little context on this. The date is January 2nd. Okay? January 2nd. It's a Christmas ornament. I'm at the time a single guy. Ladies, in case you don't know this, single guys don't collect Christmas ornaments. typically, not always, but typically, we don't collect Christmas ornaments. We don't really know what to do with them. And so I pulled it out, and the first thing I thought is, I got to keep this thing for a year before it's of any value to me whatsoever. And she looked at me, and she said, do you love it? I said, I love it. put it back in the bag, put it in the middle there, console. Drove the rest of the way to Nashville, got there, went to our rooms. Next morning, we came back together, got in the van. We were driving to the conference, and I look over, and she is furious. I mean, furious. I look at her. What's wrong? Nothing. You've been there. We've all done it. Nothing. And it was one of those nothings where you're like, this is a bad deal. Bad deal. We get to the conference. The college students go in. I'm like, listen, we got to talk. What in the world is going on? Nothing. What's going on? Nothing. What's going on? Nothing. Finally, you have to tell me. And then she looks at me. She looks at me and she said, I got you that bear. And you just put it back in the bag and left it in the console. You didn't even care. What? What? You just crumpled it up in the bag. You left it right in the console. You didn't even care. What? It's a Christmas ornament. What did you want me to do with it overnight? It took us months. It took us months to figure this situation out. But what I learned is this. My wife feels loved. She experiences affection when you communicate that you're thinking about her even though you're not with her. So when she got me the bear, it wasn't about the bear. It was about even when I'm in a gas station, even when I'm in the most mundane of places, I'm always thinking about you. And to her, that's one of the greatest ways that you can love her. It's one of the greatest expressions of love. Now, I don't experience love that way at all. So it was a huge learning experience for me, which is why even now, 11 years later, if you come to my house at Christmas, there's a little bear that we hang in the middle of our tree every year. And that bear taught me a lot about how to be able to love my wife. Affection is rooted in attentiveness. You have to pay attention to, okay, how do they communicate love so that you know how to be able to communicate love to them. And if you're going to love well, you have to be able to do this in the lives of the people around you. And you can continue to interact with affection based on your vision of love. You can continue to interact with affection based on a spontaneous view of love and hope that it will happen. Or wait for it to happen and hope for you to be able to feel something and then act and feel something and then act. Or you can allow God's vision of love, which is intentional, to impact the way you interact with affection. And begin to do it intentionally and consistently and faithfully in the lives of the people around you. You see, God's view of love, God's vision of love, drastically impacts the way that we interact with affection. Drastically impacts it. And for most of us, we show affection based on when we feel something, and therefore, we say it's spontaneous. What it actually is it's sporadic at best. And we're not good at communicating affection because we have a bad vision of love, as opposed to stepping into God's vision of love, which says, no, this is going to be intentional. This is going to be something that I'm going to consistently and faithfully carry out in the lives of the people around me, in the life of the person that I love. And so if we're going to talk about this, we have to practice it. Now, here's how I want you to practice it. As you walked in today, you sat down on a sheet of paper and a pen. That's why you've been uncomfortable ever since you sat down. If you pull that out, you're going to find a 3x5 card. Here's what I want for you to do with that 3x5 card. I want for you to take that out, and I want for you to write down the top 10 ways that the person that you want to love experiences affection. the top 10 ways that they experience affection. If you're married, write it down for your spouse. If you're dating, write it down for the person that you're dating. If you want to be dating, write it down for the person you want to be dating. You can also do this with a friend. This isn't just about some of you here. I don't have a romantic relationship. This isn't for me. No, it's for all of us. This is how you love. This is for a friend, a coworker, anyone. Write this down. This is about getting better at loving, loving the way that Jesus loves. Whoever it may be, find someone. Just think of someone. This is who you're going to love better, a family member. And write down the top 10 ways that they experience affection. Now, here's what's going to happen. You're going to write down about four, and then you're going to realize, I don't know anymore. Here's what you're going to do. I know, this is a crazy idea, but here's what you're going to do. Ask them. Ask them. Again, you say, that's not romantic. It's not romantic. Oh, you should just know. That's stupid. That's not going to happen. They're not just going to know. Ask them, and when they ask them, tell them. When they ask you, tell them, this is how I feel loved. Just sit down with them. Listen, what do I do that makes you feel loved? When do I communicate well that I love you? What do I do? What are the ways that you experience affection? And allow them to tell you. You say, that's not romantic. What you want is not someone who reads your mind, because one, that's not going to happen. Again, only happens in a movie. What you want is not someone who can figure it out on their own. What you want is someone who cares enough to ask and cares enough to consistently carry that out in your life. That's romance. Romance is someone who cares enough to ask and consistently carries it out in your life. And here's the thing, as you're writing these things down, they don't all have to be big. Some of them can be really small. Some of them can be really easy. Pay attention to the low-hanging fruit. Another time that I learned this with my wife, when Anna and I first moved to Hoboken, we used to go for walks down Washington Street. It was one of the highlights of our week. Usually, at least once a week, we'd go for a walk together and just enjoy Washington Street before three little monsters disturbed that whole process. But we used to love it. And I remember a couple months after we moved here, we were walking down Washington Street, and all of a sudden she turned to me and she said, "Oh, it's time for us to stop holding hands." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, when we walk, I reach out and I take your hand. You usually hold it for about a minute or so, and then you give it a little squeeze, and then you let go. It's my cue to know that, okay, we're done holding hands now." I said, "I don't do that." I knew. I hate holding hands. I hate it. It's gross. It's weird. Your hands get sweaty. It throws off your pace of walking. It's uncomfortable. There's nothing good about it really at all. So I knew that, but I said, "I don't do that." She said, "Yes, you do." I said, "There's no way." She said, "Yes, you do." So I started paying attention to it. Sure enough, I did it all the time. I didn't even think about it. I did it subconsciously. I didn't even know that I was doing it. But as I walked through that process, I realized something. This is a really easy way to show my wife that I love her. And so some of the things that are necessary for me to show my wife that I love her are really hard. So I need to communicate well with my wife. That's really hard for me. I'm a terrible communicator inside of relationships. I know it's odd with what I do, but I am. I'm a terrible communicator inside of relationships. That's really hard. But holding her hand is easy. So I realized, okay, wait a second. I can take advantage of low-hanging fruit here. And I began to practice, and I still to this day practice it. When we go for a walk or when we're out somewhere, I make sure that my wife doesn't have to reach for my hand. I reach for hers first. Super easy, and it makes her feel really loved. She's like, "Wow, he really loves me." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great." It doesn't have to be big and complicated. And some of them are expensive. You're looking at this, you're like, man, because here's the thing. For those of you who are married, here's what I want you to do. You write down the 10, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to put this somewhere that you're going to see it every weekday. Put it in your cubicle, put it in your wallet, put it somewhere you're going to see it every single weekday. And you're going to practice. You're going to choose one of those things to practice every single weekday, at least for the next 3 months. Every single weekday, We're not just going to talk about this. We're going to practice it. You're going to practice it every single weekday. You say, man, if I start doing that every single weekday, I'm going to buy her flowers. This is going to get expensive. Yeah, invest in what matters. Why does that give us pause? I constantly have conversations with people. I'm like, yeah, you need to start going on dates every week. And they say, man, that's going to get expensive. Why is it that you're spending more money on clothes than the people that you love? Why are we hesitating to invest in our relationships? Are we serious? Invest in it. Now, here's the other thing. If you're here and you're dating, don't do this every week. Listen to me. I mean, don't do this every day. You're going to freak them out. All right? And they're going to run. Be smart, people. Be smart. If you're dating, or if this is a friend or someone like that, we're talking like 2 times a week, max, right there, okay? Don't drive them off, all right? 2 times a week. But you decide. Affection's not going to be spontaneous. Affection's going to be intentional. If you decide that in your relationship, it's going to drastically and radically change your relationship. I had a friend, he got married. He didn't always make the best decisions in his life. Let me just put it that way. He got married and I thought, man, I don't know. But he practiced this. As a matter of fact, he practiced this better than anyone I know. He has an amazing marriage. Because he decided, I'm not going to hope that it happens. I'm not going to be a victim of love. Love is not going to be something that happens to me. Love is going to be something that happens through me consistently with my wife. And he carried that out. If you do this, it will drastically transform your relationships. If you take on God's vision of love, planned, intentional, faithful, the people around you are going to begin to experience love in a way that they never have. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, people are going to know that you're my followers. How? By the way in which you love. When you begin to love this way, people are going to be like, this is different. Their love isn't sporadic. It's consistent. Their love is different. It's time for a new vision of what love looks like. A bigger vision of what love looks like. And if we allow him, he can and he will lead us into that. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the way in which you intentionally and consistently, faithfully have loved us. I thank you that your love isn't dependent upon how you feel, but that your love is consistent no matter what you feel. Father, I thank you for how you not only have demonstrated that to us, but how you instruct us in that. And as we come together today and we look at that, I pray that we would begin to shift that vision and for that shift to begin to impact and influence the way in which we show affection to those around us. I pray that we wouldn't just learn this, but that we would practice it. And that as a result, the beauty and the truth of your love would be seen and known. That the world would look at us and say, no, they love differently. In Jesus' name, amen.